Talk live with psychics online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, welcome to our show tonight. It's about Trinity or Trine. And I'm going to read what I posted before because this comes from our Maya Moon. She says, our spiritual and human energy is sometimes referred to as the Trinity or Trine. Imagine a pyramid with the top representing our true spiritual self and the sides and bottom composed of our emotional and physical self. Now, that makes sense, right? Join us tonight while we discuss the importance of placing our highest good above all else and how all stones of our pyramid are affected by the other. Learn the secret and importance of decisions and ways to avoid mistakes, obstacles, and the temptation to gratify one's aspect without consideration of cause and effect. This is really an interesting topic tonight. And, of course, I have with me tonight Stars Maya Moon. We have the chat room open, and we also have some listeners who are just called in just to listen to the topic, and I think it's wonderful tonight. And welcome, Stars Maya. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Miss Natalie. How are you?
I'm okay. I've been busy all day today doing my bookkeeping and the blog. The blog is really big on Mondays because everybody submits for the week. You know, you do every day, some of them just do a weekly kind of thing. So Mondays are always jammed. But it's okay. It turned out really nice. Even my webmaster, Tony, told me how good it looked. Then he went to the magazine, which has been, I put that up. I launched that yesterday, and he told me, he said, oh, my gosh, it looks gorgeous. It really does this time. I have a lot of images, and I have fun doing that.
Good.
And that is mysticlivingtoday.com. So what about this topic tonight? This is really cool.
It is. It's very exciting, and I'm not going to say that I have, you know, something that no one else has ever discovered, but this is something that, in some teachings that when my guides often are teaching me, explaining to me, or mentoring me on a subject, they very often use images. I'm not sure if that's because I'm an image-type person, and I think that's probably true. I find myself using analogies very often to myself, and in my own life, so they presented this to me, and the more that I delved into this topic with my guides and the more that I proceeded to share this and the idea and how profound and significant it can be when it comes to our life, the more that I felt that it was something that was important to share. And so I'm excited to share, and I will start by, you know, kind of defining the terms. A couple things I know that you always do this too is to let everyone know that the chat room runs consecutively with us, or currently as we're running. So if you're interested in trying someone out, if you have a one question or a mini reading that you'd like, the chat room is open and available. We have some wonderful experts that run and take care of that for us. I don't know what we would do without them. If you have a comment, or you'd like to share something, or you have just a general question about our topic tonight, we would be happy to hear from you. So you can call in. The number to call in is 347-838-9736. And if Ms. Natalie picks up the phone and you just simply want to listen, that's all you need to do is let her know that I just like to listen. But if you would like to share something on the subject, we'd love to hear from other experts or any listeners. And I want to welcome everyone, all those that have been tuning in regularly, and anyone that's new. I hope that you enjoy the show. And anything that you want to add, Natalie, before I get things going here?
Get the ball rolling? No, I think you've covered it all. You know, we really enjoy doing this. I sometimes interject, like if Stars Maya Moon is speaking by herself, sometimes she'll ask me something. But for those of you who are listening, and we have a couple that called in. One has called in, and I've already spoke to them, but the other one I have not. That's okay. Please listen. Please stay. Enjoy. Periodically throughout the hour, I will come back to you and see if you have anything that you'd like to share with us. A question about this Trinity or Trine, and because I know Stars Maya Moon will be able to answer that for you. And yes, we have people in the chat already, so this is a good thing. So you can take it away anytime you wish.
Okay. Thank you so much, Miss Natalie. So yes, you can find me on the site on Stars as Stars Maya Moon, and if you call, you can just refer to me as Maya. So basically what we're talking about is my guides have shown me a pyramid. And we all know, of course, there's a lot of mystery and there's a lot of different theories on how pyramids came into being and how they were put together. So I think that the mystery surrounding pyramids is just another layer to what my guides are sharing with us. And the same thing can be true of when we think of our spirituality. Although we're familiar with and we understand a great deal now, more and more as time goes by, we don't know all the answers. So, for example, as a medium, we might have connections that give us glimpses into the afterlife, but there's just some things that we don't know. So just to define our term, so you know where I'm coming from and what my guides are specifically referring to, because spirituality is a very subjective subject, and what I'm referring to as the Trine or the Trinity in this context might be different than something that you've heard. And I know that there's many religions that also refer to the Trinity or the Trine, so it's not a competition with that. It's just a little bit of an alternate meaning in this situation. So if we look at a pyramid definitely has somewhat of a point at the top, and it's a building that's shaped in the shape of a triangle and put together with very large stones. And the way my guides have taught me is that the very top of the pyramid, which in a way, it faces upwards, so towards the heavens, towards the skies, towards the stars, and kind of overall being seen as perhaps the most important, or what comes first is, and that's our spirituality. So it's our spirituality, our spirit, or our true self, our soul that is at the top. What puts together the foundation, the sides, the edges, the bottom, everything else, all these large stones are put together by all the other things that define us as human beings and, again, with spiritual beings. We're spiritual beings that are living human lives. So we can imagine then that we have, at the top, we have our spiritual self. That's our core self, our true self. And then surrounded or built is the physical self, which can include everything from everything that's physical and emotional, all of our emotions. Also within that pyramid, you can imagine that it's something that's built, but we perhaps, just like if you're building a house and you have the foundation or you have everything pretty well set, but you're adding little bits and pieces, touch-ups. So think of the pyramid that way. Is the main part of the pyramid is in place, the foundation and the structure. So structurally, it's very sound, but you're putting the finishing touches. And these include our experiences, both positive and negative, our moods, things that we've collected. By collected, I mean emotionally and physically. So injuries that we may have had, illnesses that we may have had, experiences, relationships, people that have become a part of our life, people that have come in and out of our life. And oftentimes when we are setting about our life and we are making decisions, and a lot of times this can happen, one time that I can think of that's very common is when we're young, although we're given a little bit more freedom, you might say, when we're young. Also is during times of chaos, stress, or anxiety, which, again, in the modern times that we live in, unfortunately, we deal with quite a bit of stress and anxiety in our life. So all these different times, these different situations, or if we've experienced something extremely traumatic, the loss of a relationship, the loss of a loved one, perhaps a job loss, an unexpected job loss or change, or we're making a change in our home, we're making a move, anything that creates a shift. And energy, of course, is everywhere and always changing. Okay, so I hope that I'm not talking in circles here, that I'm making sense. Okay, so if you're with me so far, each of these little pieces represent a stone that is in this pyramid. What often happens is if we're not careful and we're not selective and we don't stop and think about things, oftentimes we will make a choice without looking upwards up to that high point, that point to that highest part of us that is our spiritual being, and we don't look to that part to see if the decision that we're about to make is going to serve our greatest good. So in doing so, in neglecting to evaluate that or to convene, if you will, meditate if you meditate, or even just take the time to consider the effects and how we are, look at it from that spiritual perspective, we are taking a risk of pulling out a stone that could literally shake the entire foundation. So again, if we imagine this pyramid, if we were to take, and it's hard to say, I'm not a builder, and so I really don't know anything about, well, I know a little bit about everything. No, I'm just kidding. I have to put in a little humor every now and again. But not being a builder, it's hard to say if this stone, let's say that it's in the center, let's say that it happens to be on the right-hand side and it's about midway down, and consider that most of these stones are fairly good sized. It's difficult to say with accuracy if the removal of that stone, which represents a choice that we make, is going to have a lasting and detrimental or negative effect or affect to our spiritual selves or our life path and our purpose. Imagine, however, let's go a little further and imagine that we make a decision that's based on the moment. We're under pressure, we're under stress. So instead of stopping and convening with what perhaps serves our highest good spiritually, we instead make a decision based on what seems to be easiest or what creates less stress or what we think creates less stress or what is less fearful to us or less risk-taking. A lot of these are just perceived as being so. They're not necessarily so. Let's say that we make an instantaneous decision, and we come to find out after making that decision that this big, huge stone that's been a important and significant part of our pyramid is now missing, to the point where it could tumble or shift that entire pyramid. Now, my guides teach that there's very few things in life that we cannot in some way fix the damage, repair the damage, or put things back into order or back into the light, back into a higher being. But it is much more complicated, much more complex, and extremely more difficult to repair something than it is to do that. To do it right in the first place. And any of us, no matter what our chosen career is, I think that we can all relate to that on just a regular or general basis, that it's always easier to do something right the first time. So what we really need to consider and be aware of and be careful of is that are our decisions, are they of the highest good? Are they serving the Trinity? Because all these are interconnected. Our spirituality is connected to our physical and emotional, and our emotional and physical is connected to our spiritual. So whatever choices we make are going to affect all those things that we are, all that we've experienced, and they're also going to affect the way that we perceive and experience not just the present, but the future as well. So as you can see, it starts to become very important when we start to think about, if I make this rash decision or this major life change without thinking to myself, is this serving my greater good? Is this serving my highest path? Is this serving my true purpose? We are compromising or taking a risk much greater than that we may think, I'm not going to risk getting hurt. Like, for example, backing away from a relationship because we're fearful. The past has shown us that relationships often cause harm or bring pain. And so we back away from a relationship. We refuse to get involved when actually what we're doing, that fear is nothing compared to what's going to occur if that large stone from the middle or from the bottom, imagine again the pyramid and that being taken out and removed and pyramid becomes lopsided, then we have to work to put it back together. So at that point, I'm going to interject and see if Miss Natalie has anyone that has decided expert or a listener to join in the conversation, or if she herself has any questions or anything to add, since we're about
I haven't spoke to any of the two listeners that we have. We have people in the chat, but how, like, we'll use a relationship for example, and if everybody would just read Maya Moon's blog posts every single day, you would gain so much knowledge. That's the truth. And really it is. And sometimes when she writes things, it's like she's directing it at me. So I take it very personally. But anyway, you know, because she convenes with her guides about me oftentimes. And so, but anyways, okay, say for example, it's a relationship. And one of these stones pulled away.
Okay.
How do you bring it back into alignment so that that foundation can be as sturdy as it was when it was started? How does one do that? And I'm using it a relationship as an example because we talk about people all the time, and sometimes that's how people can relate, and maybe that will help somebody. I don't know. But how do you get that back?
Okay, well, that's a great question. So just I'm going to reiterate that to you to make sure that I've understood you. So rather than a decision that we may have made, what you're suggesting is what if someone leaves or abandons or exits a relationship with us, and so in doing so, they have removed a large stone. How
yes.
do we, with that? Okay, that is a great question. That is a difficult process, and what it requires is that all those three elements, starting with the spiritual, the physical and the emotional have to work together, and they have to make up for, they have to compensate for that loss. And it can be done. You asked, how do we get it back to where it was? The answer is, it can never be put back to the way that it was before. However, that doesn't mean that it can't be put to back to a better state. What the goal is to achieve peace and harmony, and to achieve a state within that is as good or better than before that stone. So what we do is, imagine if you were building a house and you had to tear down a wall, you would have to start by convening with your spiritual self. So let's talk about that for a moment. What does that mean? Convening with our spiritual self means we have to accept sometimes, especially when a choice or decision is not of our choosing but is out of our control, beyond our control, or something that we did not necessarily wish or desire. So that always requires some type of hope or faith that there is some greater good, there is our spirit, our spiritual being, our well-being is going to be served in some way, and that could be, there's a myriad of ways that that could happen. That person could return in another form, that person or another relationship, something else could be brought into our lives, or we could see a side of life that we were unable to see because of that. So that's how it would start. It would start by having hope and having faith that there's some reason, that there is some greater good, because everything comes from the spiritual, so everything has to be serving of our spiritual best, our highest potential and our best. And then from there, from that point, once we are able to have hope, which can be very challenging, Natalie, it can be very, very difficult when we're in the midst of a painful and excruciating emotional experience, spiritual experience, to be able to say, oh, well, I know this is for my greater good. I mean, I feel that's a very condescending statement for another person to make, because we're not really able to feel that way. We have to ask for then is assistance. We may do that by asking assistance from God, Creator, Source, Universe, whatever we might recognize as the divine, and always know that we are interconnected in the grid. And so then from that point, we have to look at the emotional and the physical. And that automatically, once those three things start to come together and we start to follow that recipe, if you will, then it's just like the mortar and the stone and whatever you might use to build a brick wall or a stone wall or 2x4s and nails and drywall if you're putting up a wall. So did that answer it and make sense? And if it didn't, you don't have to just say, oh, yes, thank you. You could be honest and say, no, it didn't make sense.
You know, I would be honest. No, it makes sense, except you said it can never go back the way it was. Okay, but it can, in fact,
right,
go back better, correct?
And well,
that would be kind of like if, say, it happened in a relationship. Now, and you have to know that, or you want to believe, I should say, that something, it was for your highest good, yes. And sometimes, and I've seen this before, not personally, but I've seen this, where somebody was spared, because they were in a relationship, and down the road, it would have really hurt them. I mean, really hurt them. But for some reason, something was pulled away. I believe God can do that. I believe that if that's not of your highest good, you will be taken away from it, or they will be taken away from you. So you have to, I think you have to believe, and that's part of hope and faith, and don't you think so?
Yes, and I feel that we might be using some terms that, like we're saying put back, instead let's say rebuilt. So
okay.
It wouldn't necessarily be, it wouldn't be returned to a better state, it would be rebuilt and redefined. And you're absolutely right. And I've seen this in, because I've worked in this business for so long, I have seen this countless times. In fact, I've probably seen this occur more than I've seen other things occur where something starts out to be somewhat of a negative, or it's perceived as a negative, or it's perceived as a subtraction from the whole of that person's life or the definition of their life, but in time it ends up with something that's higher and better and more serving of their highest good and their true self, and all the way around, again, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. So physically would be sleep, anxiety, aches and pains, fatigue, those type of things would be physical. Diseases that a lot of people suffer from that some feel are related to, are spiritually related. Emotional, which would be our affect or mood, our state of being, our sense of self-worth. Those are both emotional and spiritually related. So, yes, we can be repaired and converted to a higher. So, I mean, you could look at it as the pyramid. That stone that was taken out, even though we it didn't seem to be jeopardizing the pyramid and it didn't seem to be a problem, that stone is now going to be replaced with a new stone that's even better, that might even be more supportive for all the other areas. Does that make it clearer?
Yeah, that makes sense. But you see sometimes where a relationship breaks up, and it happens a lot when you're young, I think, and if you're in the circle of with all your friends, and then all of a sudden you get wind of something, oh, do you know this? Did you know that? And lo and behold, you had no idea had you have continued on in this relationship. I saw that a lot when I was a lot younger. I think when we get older, I don't know that it happens that much, but it makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I don't know. I hope the listeners understand that, but it makes sense to me. And like I said, if they would just read your blog post, Maya, they would get an awful lot. And I told you, sometimes when I read them, it's like, oh, she's talking to me. I can tell.
Yes, she wrote this
But
me.
That's what's so great about it. And, of course, I'm very, very lucky. Now, can there be, like, two areas pulled out of your pyramid that might be not necessarily a relationship? Like, say it's a career. Say it's a job you lose. Is that part of that? Because the pyramid represents everything in your life, right?
That's right. It represents everything that defines us, whether that's career, relationship, family, anything that we see as self-defining or defining of us, or uses our resources, whether that's time, energy, money, love. You know, again, even though we're spiritual beings, we're not flying around here with wings. We're living in the everyday world, going to the grocery store, we're having to pay for our groceries, we're having to pay for our shelter, our food, our clothing, etc. So yes, everything is a part of that pyramid. Everything that defines us, everything that we do, and all the choices that we make. Now, you know, what we have for dinner that night, that may not come into, because that doesn't really define us. However, we could look at food and the choices that we make every day and then the days turn into weeks, and the weeks into months, and the months into years. So diet, and I recently wrote something on food and our spiritual well-being. So food can be a defining factor within our lives, so it can actually be considered part of the pyramid. But I'm just making a comparison to, you know, a small, I mean, should I write with a black pen or a blue pen? I mean, no, that's really probably not going to affect our pyramid. But the majority, the way that you might want to, if you're asking how do I evaluate if something is important enough to be, you know, require a convening, I call it convening with our spiritual self, or require that we stop and say, okay, is this going to serve my highest good? Is this serving my highest path? Is it something that has defined us or does define us or will define us, and will it cause any type of disruption in our lives in any way, and does it require the use of any of our resources, which are, again, energy, money, so on?
Okay, makes sense. It makes sense. And, you know, we all, as women, we always think of relationships, and but it can be a career. It could be family, right? Family issues.
Absolutely.
Things going on
family
with the family.
Issues.
You know, see, I had that happen when my husband passed away. I had, you know, relatives, not my own. I wasn't related to them. It was through marriage. And after it was all said and done, I never heard from them again. And they only live about 10 minutes away from me. And so something like that was very disturbing for me, because we were so very close. So I guess that would harm your pyramid too. A lot of things have harmed my pyramid. Even
well,
my birth
and
wheel.
They do. And very often, you know, again, when we're younger, we get a little bit of a free pass when we're younger. And by younger, I mean as we're developing, you know, toddlers, and even up in this generation, you know, every generation has matured slower than the generation before. And today's generation, for example, I have an 18-year-old. He turned 18 in December. Compared to my generation, I would put him at about 12 or 13, maturity-wise. So every generation matures slower, so that there's positive and negative to that. So we're given a little bit of freedom, usually up until about 25, and then and sometimes it can be before that, we're given a little bit of a free pass. But we are collecting and we are adding or taking away. So you could look at the pyramid and your experiences or choices, like, for example, your mistakes could be maybe they weren't large enough to pull a stone away, but they definitely chipped at a stone, making that stone compromise to the point that any more chipping away and that stone may as well be removed, because it's going to be useless in terms of being a part of the entire structure. And you mentioned family. You know, family is one of the most difficult, stressful, anxiety provoking, and it can be something that more people have issues and problems with, because there's that feeling of obligation and karma. There are family we're supposed to, people always say, well, it's my mother, or it's my father, it's my aunt, it's my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, it's my daughter-in-law, it's my son-in-law, I'm supposed to. Well, we're not supposed to do anything except what serves our true self and our true purpose and our true path. Everything else truly is a choice, and that does not mean that they're easy. Choices, sacrifices, those are never easy to make, and I don't mean to be condescending at all. Again, I don't live, you know, I have a joke with a very old client of mine, and she said that the first couple times she talked to me, she imagined me in some type of, like, white, frilly nightgowned in a castle far, far away up in the hills in, I don't know, Ireland or something. And I said, you know, she realized, of course, that I'm a normal human being. So all of us are normal. And just simply because we're teaching something, it's like a biology teacher or a science teacher or a math teacher. That doesn't make that person's life automatically, mathematically simple and easy, and nor does it make them rich or full of resources. They're just simply, that's what they do, they teach. So we're all faced with, and family can be one of the most detrimental influences in our life, because that feeling of, I'm supposed to. We, you know, we have that obligation that we're supposed to be a certain way or act a certain way, behave a certain way, reciprocate in a certain way because of it being family. And the truth of the matter is we don't get to choose our family. You know, we don't get to necessarily choose who our biological mother or father is, but we absolutely 100% get to choose who we spend our precious time with. And we should always see our time as precious and spend our time with those people, family or not, that we care about, that are can spiritually enrich our lives and who in turn spiritually enrich our life. So a little bit off the subject, but actually not really.
No, not really. Yeah, they say friends you choose, relatives you don't. And that's true.
Right. That's,
you know, but
you know,
yeah, this could apply definitely to this family thing. And I keep trying, you know, I call on holidays and birthdays and I do my thing, but it's not reciprocated. So it makes me sad, though. It really does, you know, because how people can just dismiss who you are. Well, I don't do that, but anyway. So, okay, well, moving right along, that's enough of that kind of stuff.
Well, no,
anyway.
But you know, you have good points, because there's so many people that are caught in very similar situations. They're good-hearted and, you know, they're from generations. You know, the younger generation, again, there's a lot of positive factors to the younger generations, and by that, I mean those are, that are born and are now the ages between 14 to, well, I'll go a little past 14. My guides say that was wrong. They say 16 to 25. Those generations, you know, they have a little bit different take on things, and there's a lot of positive things. And one of them is they don't feel that same tie to family that we do in other generations, in older generations, which would mean any persons born or at the age of, I should say, rather than born, I should say, any persons older than, say, about 25 are born in generations that family was considered first and foremost, and that's not to say that we don't have some obligations to care for our families, but, you know, I totally sympathize with where you're at, because that's part of our ancestral DNA, and that goes back to our pyramid and our spiritual being. Those are things that have been ingrained in us, that you take care of your family, you continue to make efforts, even if your efforts go unnoticed, not reciprocated, and you're basically just completely ignored, you still continue to try and to give your very best. But unfortunately, the spiritual world that we live in now, we have the generation that we have all these kind of spiritual morals, you might say, or these spiritual, you know, I hate to use the word rules, but in a sense they kind of are, rules of honor more so than rules of legality. And so here we are, we're faced with a conundrum. We have these strong, like yourself, you're in a situation where you are in a generation such as myself and many, many other people. Again, anyone whose age is 25 or above has some form of that. And you can get into situations with parents or those that, even if they weren't biological, they were parental figures, maybe grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever, who raised or had a hand in raising. And so there's this obligatory feeling, yet there's not really a true sense of love, which love is defined as the ability to give without the expectation of receiving. So it's just like a gift. A gift should be given for the pleasure of giving the gift, not, you know, oh, I gave a $50 gift, so hopefully I got a $60 one in return.
Exactly, exactly. And, well, you know, and you often wonder if people feel the same about, like, in a family like this family that, you know, it's just, I mean, this was my husband's brother, and he doesn't even ask about me when he sees my son. And that tells me something. You know, it really does. It's just, but sometimes people have to deal with things the way they have to deal with things. And we also have to remember that, you know. Nobody's like myself. Nobody's like you. We're all unique in our own. And so, but things like that really bother me. I guess I just expect people to be like me, but they're not. So.
Well, and we, you know, we've talked about that before, and that's self-projecting, and we all do that. Humans are all guilty of that. We often project the way that we are on other people, and that sometimes we're very good, like you're a very good-hearted, very generous, loving person. So it's natural that you expect that the world reciprocates or is the same. Unfortunately, this is a pretty harsh world that we live in. So, you know, there's a lot of good people. There's many good people, of course, but there's also
right.
just as many people that are out for number one. And then you mentioned a very good point about people dealing with things. And death is something that many humans have an extremely difficult time. And because they are unable or unwilling to deal with it, they deny it. And whenever we enter into a state of denial, first of all, we're denying our true spiritual self. So we've cut off that most important, that top of the pyramid, we've cut off that important part. And that also means that we have to cut out or cut around anything that's associated too closely with reminders or triggers of certain events. Now, for your son, it may be that the triggers are different, so they're tolerable, but the triggers with you are of such that they create pain, and the reason is not that that's an excuse or that makes it acceptable, because it does not. It just simply explains how a person can be, you know, probably wasn't something that they would have ever, you know, perceived themselves to be in that situation, but it ended up that's how they were, because they were unable, for some reason, your being the way that you were triggered memories for them that they have not yet to deal with. So although it's very sad for you, and I feel sympathetic for the situation that you're in, they're not in a very good place, because people that are happy and in a good place don't find it necessary to be that way towards others.
Well, part of the problem was, and this did affect my pyramid, is that my husband was very ill and was home with me for like 3 years with Alzheimer's, and his brother never came to see him, even though I called and suggested that he make a trip over. So sometimes I think too it's basically guilt.
Oh,
and
yes.
You don't want to deal with, and you don't want to deal with it. So,
right.
You know, out of sight, out of mind. Well, I think, you know, talking about me, like to my son, for example, brings up his brother in his mind and in his heart. And it's just, it's very sad because life is so short. And, you know, I try my hardest to make sure, and, you know, all the people on my site I treat very well. I mean, if they need something, whatever. And so it's kind of appalling to me that there are people like that and somebody that is a relative, but, you know, it's not a relative that, it was just I married into it. And so it was a big part of what happened to me. And even, and we'll take another example, and I hate to use me, is like my bird. My Leo died. That took something out of my pyramid too.
Absolutely.
So I got a lot of stones I got to pick up and put back.
Well, you've got a lot of chips in a lot of the, what I see is my guides tell me that, which would make sense, that because our heart's on the left side, so the left side of our pyramid stands a little bit more for the emotional side, and the right side of the pyramid stands more for the physical side. And physical can encompass a lot more than we may think just off the top of our hat. But, yes, you have a lot of chips, and there's a lot of repairs there that need to be made. But they can be made. And, again, how many times have we heard of an old structure that was restored and ended up, you know, the restoration, they had two choices. They could bulldoze it down and start new, or they could do a restoration, and the restoration kept that spiritual energy, that special something of that, whether it was an older hotel or a Victorian mansion, but it kept that energy, that special something alive, but yet it added to the foundation and to, you know, to the structure is the word I'm looking for, so that it became better than it had been for a long time. Perhaps some would even say it had improved over time. So, yes, you
well,
do
and the
have...
value, maybe the value gets more recognized. It's more precious because, oh, wow, they restored this. Well, then you're going to get loads of people to come see this because they didn't even know what they were missing because it didn't look good. But yet it's history, and the feeling of that particular building, whatever it was still there. It was always there. But you have that makes sense too. Yeah.
And if you think of our pyramid, we hold on to, I mean, some of us, of course, we need to. I mean, we don't have memories of, generally, not consciously anyways. There's some memories that we don't have consciously for a good reason, and some of them we're too young to remember. But we also, if you look at our pyramid, and it's good when we have, when we can be aware of chunks missing. It's just like how they make references to, you know, as we age or we mature, wrinkles just show that we've lived a good life. I really believe in that. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to use skin cream or whatever.
Of course
tricks,
you are. You are going to, yes.
Of course, but I do believe in the theory behind that. And so one thing that we can think about with our pyramid is no matter how much damage might be done to that pyramid, and each of us knows what our experiences are and what our, you know, what's chipped away at it and what's caused the compromise, what's, you know, done some structural damage. But the beauty is when we work together in harmony, especially by first and foremost recognizing our spiritual connection and working with that and towards that higher good first, we are able, just like you mentioned about drawing in crowds and those being able to be appreciative of something rebuilt or renewed, we also can feel that within. So we can even have a better experience, more hope, and we can see even more so the glory of what we've been restored to because of some damage and then the repair versus this pristine pyramid that never had a scratch on it. I mean, imagine, it would be a bit boring, really, if you think about it.
Right.
I mean, so...
Right. Absolutely.
And there's very few of us. If we have accomplished that, it's generally because one of two reasons. Either A, we have never really fully connected to our spiritual self. We've always managed to stayed shy of that full connection, or we've been avoiding or denying the experiences because all of us as humans, some more than others, and that's another thing. Why that is a very complex situation. It can be choices, karma, soul contracts. There's so many different reasons why that can be. But we all, just like I've written you, and thank you, I appreciate your compliment about the blog. But if you read, and anyone that wants to read the blog, you can go back to the archives and you can read previous blog entries that have been written. And many of them refer to this, to the Trine or to the Trinity, and refer to different things that we've touched on this evening, and help to explain it in a little bit more detail. And most of it is channeled by my guides. Occasionally I will add or write, but the majority of it is what my guides have taught me, and it's by no means the only way of looking at something or the right way. It's just a way of looking at things. But, yeah, those that are in denial or have avoided allowing anything to get to them, unfortunately, they may say they don't feel any pain, but we can't really feel the fullness of joy, the completeness of joy and love and peace and harmony and alignment, balance, all of that, if we have not felt the opposite to some point. You know, it's like the sun. If we never had rain or dark skies or nighttime, we would never have an appreciation for what the sun is. So how many of us say, oh, the sun, after days of cloudy skies or rain or that? So we have to have both. There has to be that contradiction of night and day or darkness and lightness in order for us to fully be able to appreciate one. So really, Natalie, although unfortunately you have had more than your share of conflict, stress, and, you know, difficult life experiences, you at the same time have the potential to rebuild and to work on your pyramid to the point where you can achieve a place that is higher than one who had never gone through what you've gone through, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does, and it doesn't stop me from being really kind and giving to the people that are around me. I don't get bitter and say, well, I didn't get that, why should I do that for you? You know, I mean, I don't, that's just not me. I'm just not made like that, and I think I understand more about myself now that I'm so much older than I did when I was young and maybe inexperienced. I don't know if the word naive is appropriate, but I just didn't know, you know. But now I know so much more. So, yeah.
That is good. That's wonderful that you've never lost that optimism
no.
and that feeling
mm-mm.
of goodness towards other people.
I've not. And, you know, and it's true, if you, the less you focus on something, the better it will be for you. Like, the site now is doing really well. I mean, we've got a lot of new people. I've got a lot of traffic forwarded to us. But I don't sit and worry about it and say, well, why isn't this happening? I let it go. That's easy. I can let that go. You know, it's things that you're more personally affected by. And, I think you have to just look for things that give you enjoyment and be able to be creative like I can, especially with the blog. I love doing images and the e-zine. That's another source. And, it gives me a lot of pleasure just doing that. I mean, I don't have that much interaction with people, but, sometimes people say, how can you do this at home all day? Well, tell me, what else would I be doing that I would love so much? And what I'm doing is what I love. So, in a way, it's putting it back together again. Yeah, it's a good thing. It really is a wonderful thing for me, what I have and how busy I can stay. And I meet people from everywhere, and I'm very, very lucky with that. And I interact with them, even if it's just in an email. So, it kind of fills that void. You know, when we talked about this, when something is empty, something rushes to fill it because there's a void there. Well, right. Sometimes it's not the thing that went away. It may, like if it was a relationship, maybe it won't be a relationship that'll rush to fill that void, but it will be something just as good that will give you enough satisfaction. But I don't know. I mean, that's an astrological kind of thing. Something always rushes to fill the void. That's astrology. But I do know that you just mustn't give up. I don't care what it is. You just can't give up. And just know that, good things are coming to you. But above all, you have to be kind, and you have to love those that you encounter in your life. And that's just the way I've always felt, always been. And, success in business, I have. Not as much as I want right now, but it's not for me. It's for all of those who are with me. And so it's coming, but, I don't think that that's replaced anything. I love doing my bookkeeping. I've been busy the last few days, and the days have just flown by. So, but it's funny, I have to tell you one last thing. My son came in, he brought me another filing cabinet, and he looked at this corner. He said, Mom, we got to get you a bird. So you can bet that if a baby gray comes my way, his way, I should say, he's gonna grab it. And I don't know. We'll see. But gosh, this has been wonderful tonight. And I'm sorry that we discussed so much about me, but I think it can relate to a lot of people. Some people never get to talk about it and get the the answers or the suggestions, I should say, what to do, how to do it. And that's what makes the show so great.
Yes, yes.
And I'm very lucky. I can call you on the phone. it's wonderful. All of us have gifts. All of us can do all kinds. Oh, yes, 90 seconds. Did you hear that? Yeah, it's going to be 90 seconds.
Okay,
so I guess you should give your final thoughts here, Maya.
I will. So just always remember about your pyramid and the Trinity, and be sure when you are making decisions that you take the time to just, convene, is the word I use, check with your spiritual highest good and make sure that what you're about to do or the choices you're going to make are going to serve you in the future and serve your highest good so that you don't do any unnecessary damage to your pyramid, and that you're always aware that each decision, each change we make, good, bad, or in between, is going to affect all of our pyramids. And the whole point of all of this is to reach our personal best and to achieve what we can, our highest and best, because that's where we're happiest and that's where we receive the greatest love for self, for others, and within and without. So with that, God bless everyone. Have a wonderful evening, and I hope you enjoyed the show, and we look forward to seeing you back.
Absolutely, and I want to thank everybody in the chat, Stars Priestess Candy. We have Stars Judy Noah, Stars Mystical Waters, and we had some people that called in and listened for most of the show, which is really great. Next week, what is it going to be on next week? Is it going to be on some spiritual light? Is that what it is?
I believe it was up to James. So whatever, if that's what he
okay.
chose.
Okay, yeah, whatever you had discussed a topic, and he said, oh, yes, I want to do that, and that's why we didn't do it this week. But anyway, stay tuned for next week. It'll be Stars Maya Moon, Stars James back again, and with the wonderful topic discussion that they do. I extended the show a little bit just now so that they could hear the end of what you had to say because it cuts you off. Right there.
Oh, okay.
If you don't, so I just extend it. Well, I could. I did it right away before it kicked us off because it's still recording right now. So, with that, I wish everybody a nice evening. Thank you, Maya Moon. I love you very, very much. And everybody in the room, you're so wonderful. Thank you for coming. And we'll see everybody again next week. Bye bye.